From high above the ice surface at Bell MTS Place, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast alongside analyst Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Ezzy, the Winnipeg Jets off to the second round for the first time since 1987. It was a total shellacking tonight of the Minnesota Wild. The Jets with four first period goals, and the party was on at that point as the Jets handily roll to victory by a 5-0 margin tonight against the Wild.
You could hear the fans on Donald Street right now as we speak here sitting in the press box. You can hear them partying right now. What an unbelievable first period, Drew. I mean, the game was over after the first period. The Jets score four unanswered goals. 31 seconds into the game, Jacob Trouba scores a goal in which the Wild just missed their defensive coverage. I mean, Jason Zucker just lets Jacob Trouba go for a skate. Mark Scheifele beats Charlie Coyle to the puck, makes a really nice pass to Trouba, but just, you know, overall in this game, you know, the Jets just wanted this more, in my opinion. And, you know, sure, the second period was a little slow and maybe the Jets were a little bit too passive, but as far as I'm concerned, what mattered most was they didn't let the Wild get back in it, right? Second consecutive shutout for Connor Hellebuyck. He was excellent. He made a really big save on Nito Niederreiter in the first period, made a really nice save on Niederreiter in the third period. And just overall, I mean, the Jets had this game from start to finish, and we predicted it before the series started. We said that the Jets would win in five, and they did.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jets really just were the more motivated team tonight. They came out, as you mentioned, 31 seconds into the game, and the Wild just looked lackadaisical. They looked spent. They looked like they had nothing to, they had no pushback whatsoever. I mean, Devan Dubnyk, he gives up the first four goals that the Jets score, four goals on 10 shots, and you feel bad for Dubnyk because he was the best player for the Wild through the first four games of the series, and he just had nothing left in the tank tonight. I mean, the Trouba goal wasn't a very good goal, the Brandon Tanev goal wasn't a very good goal, and then the, you know, the deflection that Brian Little gets and the deflection that Joel Armia get all in the first period, you can say he doesn't really have much of a chance on those ones, but just feel bad for Devan Dubnyk. He was the best Wild player really all year round and just had nothing at all in the tank left tonight.
Right, I would agree with that. I think, you know, the Tanev goal was definitely worse, Drew. I mean, Trouba, when you give him that much time and space on Tanev's goal, I mean, Devan Dubnyk's got to have that.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, the first two goals don't bother me as much as the third goal, but the Jets were all over the Wild, and we saw that so many times in the series when the Jets were using their speed and getting in on the forecheck on the Wild. Sometimes the Wild were completely discombobulated in their own zone.
The word I used on Twitter, the same word.
And, you know, again tonight, you know, Scheifele's line just outplays Eric Staal's line, and actually didn't, you know, think Paul Stastny's line was as good as maybe you'd like to see. And of course, Nikolai Ehlers, you know, we haven't even talked about that, doesn't even play tonight. And obviously, you know, Brian Little's up on the second line with Stastny and
on the wing.
Right, exactly. And, you know, Brian Little, I thought, was the best player on that second line. I mean, Patrick Laine, sure, he had some scoring chances. I wouldn't say he had many high-quality scoring chances, but I mean, overall, I mean, you know, Paul Stastny gets the big assist on Mark Scheifele's goal that really sealed the deal, made it 5-0. But, you know, overall at 5-on-5, I didn't think, you know, the second line was that great. But it was the Scheifele line for me that was great. And, you know, the Lowry line was great as well when they were tasked at shutting down the Staal line. So, you know, overall, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, the Jets win this game in the first period, give them all the credit in the world. No Josh Morrissey, no Nikolai Ehlers, not to mention the fact that, you know, Kulikov and Enstrom and
you got Myers playing on the left side.
Matty Perreault's out of the lineup. I mean, the Jets had six regulars out of the lineup.
Joel Armia leaves after the first period. He only plays the first period. He leaves with an upper body injury. It was, the Jets didn't skip a beat, which just tells you that the game was over almost before it started. They came out right. The Wild still haven't come out of the dressing room to start the game, and it's 1-0, and then it's 4-0 before a blink of an eye. I mean, the first goal, it's emblematic of almost the entire series for the Minnesota Wild. They have possession, and then they take a needless icing infraction, which is what forces the face-off.
Well, just to cut you off, Drew, Bruce Boudreau was not happy about that, because if you look at the replay, I mean, Hellebuyck did go to play the puck, so Boudreau was basically not happy with that, and he thought maybe, you know, that resulted in the Jets getting the first goal, at the very least, he didn't think it should have been called icing.
Well, maybe. That's a fair point. And maybe it should have been waved off because Hellebuck went to play it, and that's how the rule reads. But there was no pressure on the Wild player. I don't know which player it was right off the top of my head who iced it. There was no pressure on him to force an icing. He could have carried it over center and dumped it in. For whatever reason, he dumped it in from below the red line. It gets called icing, whether or not you think it's fair or not. Face off to Devin Dubnyk's left. The Jets win the face off clean. Scheifele wins the face off clean. The Jets dominated in the face off circle all game long, and then it's 1-0 for the Jets, and they're off and flying at that point.
Drew, another critical moment in this game happens within the first 90 seconds for me. I mean, we were watching it, and we didn't think Joe Morrow maybe should have been called for that holding penalty, and the Jets kill it off. Really aggressive penalty kill, and then after they kill it off, a couple minutes later, Brian Little scores that goal. And as far as I'm concerned, you go down 2-0, you're down in the series 3-1, the fans are really loud, you're being outplayed pretty badly. It's only, just under 6 minutes into the game. I thought the game was over really early. And Devin Dubnyk, I mean, again, we talked about it, maybe one of the four goals, maybe if you want to say two of the four goals were weak, but the point is, I mean, the Wild were giving up too many scoring chances. They just didn't look strong in their own zone, and the Jets have been capitalizing on those chances, high danger scoring chances, and another point that to make here is the Jets badly outplayed the Wild here. I mean, the Wild were a different team in their own arena. Obviously, Game 3 was the big win, and they weren't as good in Game 4, but I thought Game 4 was fairly even. So, the Jets just continue to dominate at home. That was their 12th win in a row at home. It's pretty ridiculous if you think about it.
Yeah, Trey, going back to the regular season, that was their 12th win in a row at home, and you're absolutely right, Ezzy. I mean, four goals for the Jets in the first 11 minutes and 59 seconds. That tells you that one team was ready to play the game and another team wasn't. And, a combination of the loss of Ryan Suter before the playoffs started, the combination of the unexpected loss of Zach Parise, it just seems like there wasn't the leadership in the Wild dressing room who could get that team focused and get that team right. And is that on Bruce Boudreaux? Well, maybe to some extent. But when you lose Suter and Parise, who have been the face of the Wild franchise since they signed those multi-year contracts way back a number of years ago, it just looked like the Wild didn't have anybody else who could step up and lead them. Their best players, I mean, Suter and Parise, both out of the lineup, but their best players after that weren't very good in the series whatsoever. I mean, you mentioned a guy like Jason Zucker. He was invisible, didn't get a point. Charlie Coyle was fairly invisible. Mikko Koivu was fairly invisible. Eric Staal was fairly invisible. You go on and on and on, and it's emblematic of the problems that the Wild had in this five-game series.
Yeah, I thought the Wild definitely missed Ryan Suter more in the series, but they also missed Parise before he went out. He was leading the team in points, right? He had 3 points. Mm-hmm. So
he'd scored in every game before he goes out with the injury.
Exactly. So, you really are in tough when you're missing, as you said, those are your two big name, highest paid players, and they have been the leaders of this team since they were signed. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to Alex Stalock. He comes in a really tough position. I thought he made some big saves.
Yeah, he robbed Mark Scheifele in the second period before Scheifele ends up getting the Jets' 5th goal on the power play 32 seconds into the third period.
Right, and further to your point, Drew, Ryan Murphy plays tonight for Minnesota. He comes in for Carson Soucy, who's a rookie.
Yeah.
Played for Minnesota Duluth, but he'd been playing in the American Hockey League as well this year. And that kind of just showed you that, I mean, he wasn't the answer. I didn't think he was very noticeable out there. He struggled. I thought that with the exception of the Brodin and Dumba pair, I just think the Wild were too thin on defense. And, overall, I mean, the games were too one-sided. Aside from Game 3, the Jets really were, I thought, dominant in 3 of the 5 games. I mentioned earlier, I thought Game 4 was the most even of the 5 games, but the Jets deserve this. I mean, they deserve to win this series. I don't think anybody's going to argue that.
No, certainly not. It was a dominant 5-game victory in the series for the Winnipeg Jets. We mentioned off the start of the podcast, no Nikolaj Ehlers. That came as a surprise to everybody up here in the press box. I'm sure everybody in the arena and everybody watching at home and in the 15,000 other maniacs who were outside of the arena partying. All of a sudden, Nikolaj Ehlers not in the lineup, so the Jets are down another regular there. They get Matt Hendricks back in, and Hendricks is fine. He's obviously not Nikolaj Ehlers, not going to do the same thing, but the Jets just no adversity was going to stop them tonight. It'll be interesting. I mean, they're going to get probably close to a week off now. You figure the second round isn't going to start at the earliest Wednesday if somehow all the Eastern Conference series wrap up, but more likely you figure Thursday or Friday for the second round to start, and the Jets can really use that time to get some players healthy, to get Nikolaj Ehlers, to get Joel Armia, to get Matthew Perreault, to get their entire defense, the left side of their defense, back healthy, and so you can have as full of a squad as possible to likely take on the Nashville Predators. They're playing right now against the Colorado Avalanche, looking to clinch that series in 5 games on home ice.
Yeah, and you know, Drew, I wanted to go back to what you said earlier about the Wild missing Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, and then you just mentioned, you know, the Jets are without Ehlers, they're without Morrissey. We know they were already going to be without Perreault. Sure, Myers comes back into the lineup, and that's why at this time of year, depth is so important, and you can't use injuries as an excuse, right? And as far as I'm concerned, that's what it came down to. I mean, Sammy Niku, if they needed him, top scoring defenseman in the American Hockey League, he was prepared to come into the lineup if Tyler Myers wasn't ready to go. So we know they're not going to have that advantage over the Nashville Predators. I think they have the deepest forward core in the entire league. A rookie like Elie Tolvanen can't even get into the lineup, right? And, you know, your 13th forward are guys like Scott Hartnell and players like that, right? So
Kalle Järnkrok might return to the Predators lineup. He's been out since before the regular season ended. That'd be a huge addition to the Predators lineup. It's the second round series that everybody's had circled on their calendars since the Jets and the Predators sort of established themselves as certainly the best two teams in the Central Division, probably the two best teams in the Western Conference. And I mean, barring a tremendous comeback and or collapse by the Predators, that second round series is what everyone's been waiting for, and it's going to be an absolute epic battle between the Jets and the Preds.
Right. These two teams are going to be much more evenly matched if it is the Predators and the Jets. We'll see what happens in the game tonight between the Preds and the Avalanche, but I agree with you. I mean, all fans are looking forward to this series, and there's a good chance that we see it. And as you mentioned before, it's going to be nice for the Jets to get some rest here and get some of these injured players back.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have the West. If you look at the Western Conference playoffs, you have the two Pacific Division series ending in sweeps. This one's ending a sweep. Colorado, Nashville, that can end this one ended in 5 games. Colorado, Nashville can end in 5 games as well. The Western Conference is going to be sitting back and saying, okay, guys, we're waiting as the Eastern Conference continues to do battle. I mean, we thought Pittsburgh was going to clinch tonight, but you know, Philadelphia went into Pittsburgh and got a victory, so they're going to go 6 at least. An interesting dynamic in the West, in that it seems like the top teams in the West are that much better than sort of the bottom playoff teams in the West, and that's played itself out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And, you know, sometimes, you know, rest is overrated, but I think for the Jets, they're probably going to benefit from it more than other teams, and that's just because they have so many players that are injured right now, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we expect Toby Enstrom to come back for the second round. We expect Matty Perreault to come back for the second round. Dmitry Kulikov, a little bit more uncertain, but there is a good chance that he comes back at some point in these playoffs, whether that's early in the second round or later in the second round. But absolutely, I mean, I think there's a good chance whoever wins the next series between the Jets and Preds is going to eventually win the Stanley Cup. I think these two teams are the best teams in the league right now, and that's, you know, not a knock against Tampa Bay or Pittsburgh or Boston. Some of the other, exactly, yeah. Drew, Boston. So, but the Jets in Nashville is definitely going to be, you know, a series to look forward to. And as you said, we've probably been looking forward to this for, you know, 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah, since right after the trade deadline, more or less, when they played that epic game the day after the trade deadline here that Nashville ended up winning. It's going to be a fun series, assuming that Nashville gets through. They're tied 0-0 with Colorado right now in that Game 5 in Music City, USA. That's it for us from up high above the ice surface here in the press box. You look at the Jets' time on ice, some interesting numbers that jump out. Dustin Byfuglien, 25-34. Which isn't a terribly high number. You would have thought he might be up closer to 27-28, but obviously the game situation allowed Paul Maurice to run his lines, all four lines, all three pairings throughout the entirety of the game. You know, just a dominant effort by the Winnipeg Jets when you jump out to a 4-0 lead and you end up winning 5-0. That's really all a head coach, it's all a franchise can ask for. The Jets off to the second round for the first time since 1987. It'll start, likely in Nashville, maybe in call, maybe here in Winnipeg if the Jets, if the Avs pull off an upset. But obviously it'll be sometime next week. Remind you, stay tuned to illegalcurve.com. We got audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Minnesota Wild dressing room. And of course, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We'll recap everything that's gone on tonight. We'll recap the entire series. And of course, we'll get you set for round two for the Jets against the Preds, against the Avs. We'll find out 9 a.m. tomorrow, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. For reporter Dave Minuk, for analyst Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.